This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
7 assists, how did that happen?
His impact defensively especially so notable. Oh, what a take and what an and one here from Tyler Smith.
Bit messing around, he gave the business angle right there.
Woof.
With the left hand, but what makes him so great is his ability to shoot it.
That was Tyler Smith, the Milwaukee Bucks draft pick in the second round on our UCF nights. Taylor Hendricks. It's a little sad, but you know, it's nice to know that we got a guard with, a guy with some athleticism. Patrick, go ahead. First word on the Tyler Smith, you know, on the pick.
Yeah, so a lot of different things happened on the first night of the draft. AJ Johnson was obviously our first selection. Everybody was a little confused. The front office went young. They decided not to get a ready now player. And everybody was kind of just adjusting right on the fly. We potentially could have got AJ Johnson in the second round. And I think there was like some slight disappointment, some who is he, some just we got to figure it out. Well, in the second round, we got Tyler Smith, who you just saw, who we very well could have actually gotten like at some point in the first round. And I think this will be a good selection. He's obviously young from the G League Ignite, the last class from that team, I believe. And he looks like he's going to be good. I'll probably spend some more time in the G League. I don't really know if he'll be in the rotation at the start of the year, but looks pretty good so far. And we also know why the Bucks ended up passing on Kyle Filipowski there the first time around.
No, we do indeed. Honestly, if you guys haven't heard, Kyle Filipowski has some things going on with, you know, with his family. And after he got drafted, he was estranged from his parents, estranged from all of his loved ones. His girlfriend was a lot older than him. He was 18. She was 24. They went to prom together. There's a whole, I'm just saying what I read, a whole grooming situation. I know that's a really iffy word in 2024, but I'm just telling you what was read. But, you know, I'm honestly happy we got the Tyler Smith pick. I think it does. I think it adds another level to this team, a level of physicality that we have been missing, especially in the front court with whenever Giannis is not there. I think that does show that there is some urgency to fix the front court, you know, with Bobby Portis, with Brook Lopez, especially with all the trade buzz and everything that's going on. Free agency is officially open, so anything can happen. We've already seen a lot of big deals go down, especially in the Eastern Conference, but that's just some of the stuff we're going to get to. But before we get into all that, I think we just want to transition into the Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez buzz. There's a lot of stuff going on with these guys. A lot of trade possibilities going on, and especially with Bobby Portis, of course. Brook Lopez is a little bit different. He's on an expiring contract. He's 36 years of age, you know, and he's just a little bit past his prime in his NBA career. But Bobby Portis still does have, in my opinion, I think he does have a lot of trade value, especially with the season that he had last season. There's actually quite a few trade rumors going around about Bobby Portis, a couple of trade possibilities, with one of the biggest ones being either Kevon Looney or Moses Moody. There was once prior to the Thunder trade with Alex Caruso, but that one's obviously not going to happen anymore, you know. But I think Kevon Looney honestly wouldn't be the worst pickup in the world. A couple of trades that I did see proposed would be Bobby Portis for a second round pick, which would have been this year's draft, but obviously this year's draft is finished, so maybe next year's draft and a second round pick in 2029 will attach with Bobby Portis, and then getting Kevon Looney and a couple of draft picks back as well. So Patrick, are we thinking Bobby Portis? Are we thinking Brook? What are we thinking about everything that we're hearing right now?
Honestly, I've mentioned and I've thrown it out there that Brook Lopez could be dealt. I'm not really all that against it, but I do think we need Bobby Portis probably to get off of the books to really adjust everything. We are not only going to be above the salary cap, which was set just this last weekend at like what, 141 ish?
I think it was 140, and the first umbrella is like 170, and I think the second umbrella is like 187 or something.
So we're not only just entering the first we're not only entering that soft cap at 140, we're going into the first part of the luxury tax already, as it is currently constructed. We have no flexibility right now unless we were to make a trade. I think everybody's been waiting to see what we can do with Bobby Portis and what we can get for him. Look, right now, I would say that Brooke Lopez's trade value is probably higher as it is today than Bobby Portis's, because I think it was prior to the draft was where you could end up shipping off Bobby Portis. And now that you haven't been able to do that and free agency's flowing and a lot of teams have spent like a fair amount of their money, a fair amount of their cap, I think we're probably now more in tune with a team that's like, that's looking for an extra piece in a playoff run. That's how we end up trading Bobby Portis. So I think his draft stock is kind of like a little bit of a roller coaster right now.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, like kind of an opposite, like there's some sort of math, like principle, like a graph that goes like this. I don't even know what to call it. Yeah, maybe that's actually, yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's at the bottom of that right now. He's at the bottom of that right now. So I don't think his trade value is all that high, especially with some of the teams like obviously having already spent their money. I mean, teams will spend their money within 12 hours, if that, of free agency. So I would probably lean towards Brooke Lopez. I also think getting Brooke Lopez off the books really, really helps us a lot. Yeah. Already being in the first apron of the tax is pretty crazy when you kind of think about like what the Bucks are at right now. It's not like the Celtics who just paid Derek White, or like the Sixers, or any other team that's got like three max players on their squad. I guess we do have three max players on the team.
Yeah.
But it's not, or it's even like Dallas. So they just paid Klay Thompson 3 years, $50 million.
Huh?
They just paid Klay Thompson 3 years, $50 million option. Yeah, just second
Dallas.
Year. So they, yeah, Dallas.
Just
so
now?
They've got a lot of guys on the books.
Yo, yeah, that's crazy. Okay, Patrick with the Rose Bombs just now. Gee, 40 seconds ago. Wow, that's crazy. That's just another thing that we can talk about later. Later in the segment, we talk about all the free agency stuff going on. Wow, that is actually insane. And speaking of teams who have already spent some money on, who honestly I think the team that could potentially sign Brook Lopez, because this is a team that is looking for veteran leadership that did actually just get some. The Orlando Magic are actually looking to do something with one of their centers in Wendell Carter. So honestly, I don't, who knows, right? Because they might stick with him, they might develop him. Obviously, that team is very young, but they just did get some veteran leadership, like we said, in KCP as of yesterday. So maybe we make a trade with them. Maybe we get Brook Lopez off the books and, you know, we get Wendell Carter back in return. And the Magic have a lot of money to play with, so they could either maybe they could pay out his contract, but I don't think they will. But they could restructure his contract for another deal, especially at his age. And going back to another person who definitely we need to not get off the books, but someone who will probably move out again, Patrick Beverley. And we've been talking about this whole postseason, then the whole offseason. We don't know what's going on with him yet. But I think it's someone that we are end up going to, you know, shipping out, especially with one of the signings that we have made that we're going to address just a little bit later in the episode, just right after this. But yeah, I mean, Patrick Beverley is one of those guys too, who is honestly, he's not on that much of a contract as it is. He's really not, he's not taking up that much money from us, but I think any money that we get rid of is good. Like you said, we are a team that is on three max contracts, with those being Dame, Chris Middleton, and Giannis, if I'm not mistaken. I do want to backtrack real quick, sorry, and just talk about that your point on the Bobby Warpet, Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis thing. I think Bobby Portis does have I feel like he should have more trade value, hypothetically, right? It makes sense in my head, logically, why Bobby Portis would have more trade value, especially coming off the season that he did just come off of and having the game that he did in this postseason. And then we look at the age of the two players. Obviously, one of them is 36. I don't know how old Bobby Portis is off the top of my head, but I know he's not 36 years old. That much I know for sure. That's a fact. But yeah, I mean, we do have two players, you know, who have experience in this league, you know, have gone in the playoffs, have gone in deep playoff runs, you know, and have a lot to offer. You know, especially to these young teams that are really coming up and trying to make a name for themselves. So I really do feel like that is something that we could deal out. We got to wait for Rob Hurst to see what he's going to do. You know, he's been really quiet this offseason, except for the one signing that we have made this offseason. But yeah, Patrick, go ahead and just reiterate, you know, just talk, say your thoughts on everything going on.
Oh, yeah, I'm Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez. Yeah, before we get into obviously Pat Bev and his replacement, potentially, I just wanted to say that Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis, even though they are on the books and our salary cap is not our friend right now, it's technically two players that played pretty well in that opening round against the Pacers.
Indeed.
Brook Lopez, I would say, had probably one of the best playoff series he had. He's had with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And Bobby Portis, outside of the ejection early in the middle of the series there, like he had a pretty darn good series as well and really showed like his worth. He just, it was just a shame that we had it taken away at one point in the series, and it could have cost us like that game and potentially like the series. So just, and these guys aren't like bad players. It's just, we have no flexibility. And I think a lot of people are just scared to go into next season with the same everything across the board, essentially. So, especially with the way that it was like such a roller coaster last year, everybody's just a little like nervous about it.
Yeah, and I don't think that's crazy to say at all. I would definitely say I'm definitely nervous about it, which is why we got to bring them some new pieces. Which is why we're gonna talk about one of the pieces that we actually have brought in. If you guys have not seen, as of I think this morning, the Milwaukee Bucks picked up DeLon Wright from the Miami Heat. DeLon Wright, who obviously wasn't really, you know, wasn't a focal guy on that Heat team, but he did what he needed to do. You know, he was only averaging 15 minutes per game, and in those 15 minutes, he did exactly what you would ask of someone, you know, to do. And then the limited role that he had, 4.5 points per game, 1.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists per game, 1.1 steal on 37% from three. So we do end up getting that veteran guard that we had been talking about, you know, someone to really take the command of that backcourt, especially that second unit. And on top of that, he's a really, really, really underrated defensive guy. Per Nathan Marzion, of all players to average at least 700 minutes last season, DeLon Wright was second in steals per minute, per 36, at 2.4 steals per game, only behind Matisse Thybulle. So he is an absolutely great, 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 really good handsy defender, poke the ball free, create some chances for us. Patrick, just give me some thoughts on this. Is this better than Patrick Beverley? Is this a move that is this going to be one of the? Is this going to be a move that really changes the, you know, the direction of the of this franchise, you know, or anything like that? Just go ahead, lay it on me.
Well, yeah, you brought up a few things. First of all, yeah, shout out Nate, came on the Facts. Pod. And he's definitely big time in the Bucks community. So shout out Nate for those stats. DeLon Wright also, as the year progressed, like he didn't have those big stats like per game, but overall his assist to turnover ratio was crazy for the year. He had over 100 assists and under 20 turnovers. So we'll take that, right? Especially from a role player. You don't want him messing up the rhythm of the game or anything like that. DeLon Wright is a low risk kind of player, and he's very cheap, and you needed a cheap replacement for Patrick Beverley. I think obviously, as we've mentioned, Patrick Beverley, he's out. He's not going to be on the team probably come next year. And what does that bring you, right? When he's gone, I think you're losing a bit of a spark plug. You're losing that guy, that dog, the guy that you want to play with and hate to play against. Yep. But he was going to be suspended for the first four games of the regular season next year. You're not really going to miss that technical fouls, different stuff like that, like stuff on the court that can just kind of get messy and, you know, put a target on your back in the middle of a game, you know, fire up the other guards. But I think DeLon Wright will fit right in. He's going to be a rotational piece. He will get minutes, and he's going to probably bring the same amount of defensive intensity that many of the other backup point guards in this league would give you. So I really see this as just good business. You don't want to spend $2 million extra on a guy like Patrick Beverley when that gets taxed to the nines, and you end up getting, and so ended up making his contract worth a lot more as far as the owner's pockets is concerned. So I think it's a great deal.
Absolutely, and it's only a one-year, $3.3 million deal, and I think this will be I think this is honestly good for us and like going forward right now, and I think this is honestly going to help us in the future too. I think A.J. Johnson will be able to learn a lot of things from him, and obviously he's going to learn a lot of things from Damian Lillard, but A.J. Johnson is one of those raw prospects that we did talk about earlier, and I think that this is going to be super nice for him, and I would love to see, you know, how this plans out. But, Patrick, if you don't mind me going – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say he just needs to stay healthy. Only played 97 games over the last three seasons. That's just the biggest thing. It would be really unfortunate if the one move that we made during this free agency period was to just shore up the backup point guard spot, and we invested in the young guys, and he couldn't stay healthy, and we have no backup point guard, or the rotation gets all messed up, because that was really big defining factor for last year. And going into this next year, if that were to be the case again, that's just really unfortunate. You lose two seasons, you feel like, in Johnson's prime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on top of that, Dame is only getting older. Chris Middleton's only getting up there in age. So we definitely want to make sure our players are staying healthy and at the best physical body that they can have for this season. But just going, I think that's honestly all we could talk about for our team to the free agent signing. But if we just go and look at the rest of the East, there have been so many moves going into this Eastern Conference. And I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on us, and it's going to make it even more competitive than it has been this last year. Because even though the West, obviously, you know, you think of the West, you think of the star players, you think of all that, the heavyweights battling it out. Obviously, it was one game until almost the last day of the season this year between the third seed and the seventh seed in the West. That top race in the East, aside from the Celtics, of course, was just as complicated. And now we have teams like the Magic, who have made a huge signing in KCP on 3-year, $66 million deal. Who brings in a lot for that team. He brings veteran leadership. He brings 3 points. He brings defense, which is two of the number one things that the Magic were looking forward to adding in this postseason. Last year, Kentavious, KCP, and Jalen Suggs ranked the top 5% in guarding the toughest scorer on the opposition team last year. So that is going to be an absolutely terrorizing backcourt, to play against. Trying to create against them. And then obviously the big name that I have not yet, I failed to mention, but, you know, we've all been thinking about it, Paul George to the 76ers, who is now, like Patrick mentioned earlier, on 3 max contracts with Joel Embiid, and they just gave Tyrese Maxey an extension earlier in the day, I believe, or what might have been yesterday, but they just made that extension signed. So, and then obviously, you know, the Knicks, you know, they dealt out Hartenstein, but they bring in Michael Bridges. So, Patrick, I just want your thoughts. You know, what is this? You know, the Eastern Conference is really, you know, some teams are putting on the pressure right now. And, you know, it kind of looks like the Bucks are, you know, they're getting left in the dust. You know, it looks like we're just kind of in a standstill, being stagnant. You know, Patrick, just tell me what are you thinking? You know, what does this mean for us? You know, what are some things that's got to happen?
Yeah, it's it definitely makes the Bucks front office look like we're, you know, not ahead of the curve like every other team, but we're just strapped right now. I think it's just really unfortunate part of it when we watch like the musical chairs and everything go on, and we're, you know, left on the outside looking in. It's going to be really tough. And I understand there's a lot of frustration, I think, with some fans, because we weren't able to move Bobby Portis. We weren't able to see what we could get out there for Brooke Lopez prior to the free agency market opening up. So it's like you weren't really able to get any player just because you just couldn't make those moves first. They can't do anything. If there's anything that the audience takes away from this today, it's the fact that the salary cap has literally made it feel like the Bucks have handcuffs on. Like they cannot do anything right now. Like the big signing is DeLon Wright. Like that's all we have right now, unless we make a trade and get players off the books. We're paying 3 max guys. Dame and Giannis are both getting $48 million next year.
Yeah.
Like each. Like there's no room. So with that being said, how do I think the other teams are looking right now? Well, I would say the Knicks are almost like the new look Knicks because Julius Randle was hurt last year, and they just shipped Hartenstein, and obviously they made a trade last week and gave up 5 first round picks. So they are just in a complete win now mode, and it looks like the Nova Knicks. As we mentioned last time, like they're going to look completely different. And I think that's really interesting, especially for a team that was obviously really competitive this year. They're going to be completely different. And Jalen Brunson, I think, can be that number one guy. But what's that number one guy looking like, you know, 3 rounds into the playoffs, in the finals? Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll never see it. But that'll be the question for the Knicks. And then for the Sixers, man. I was surprised. Truthfully, I thought Paul George was actually going to at least consider the Magic. He said he would, and he didn't have a meeting with them in the end. And I mean, shout out to the Sixers crew there. They didn't let him out of Cali and to go meet with the Magic contingent. But he's going to invest the next 4 years into an injury-riddled superstar in Joel Embiid. Very good. Former MVP, not saying anything bad about Joel Embiid, necessarily, just the reality of it. And he just lost 4 years of his career, in my opinion, because Kawhi Leonard wasn't able to stay healthy. So I think it's an interesting move. We'll see exactly what that Sixers team can do. I still would take Boston over them.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel right now. I think when healthy, the Sixers could probably beat any team in the NBA. Sure. Yeah. I would agree with that. Now, where do the Bucks fit into all this? Now that with the Magic moves, the Knicks moves, Sixers, and then Boston obviously keeping everything down pat, having Derek White still on board for 4 years, $125 million. Mm-hmm. I think that I could see us anywhere from 5 to 2. in the regular season. I would imagine unless the Celtics have an injury or they just really coast this next year, they would be the top seed, and it probably won't be all that close.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing anywhere from 5-2. And I like our matchups against the Knicks personally. I've said that. I said that last year. I just like the way that we match up against them, especially with our front court being so big.
Yep.
Don't really like the matchup against the Magic as much anymore right now.
Yeah.
Because I do think that they're bordering on being deeper than we are and just as good defensively. Certainly don't think offensively, any, you know, even with the KCP move. As far as the Sixers are concerned, I think that just comes down to health.
Yeah.
And then Cavs look like they're going to just run it back. I think we're better than the Cavs.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I love what you said, a lot of great stuff. I honestly think that the Knicks could, if they figure that out, because they also managed to keep OG, which is, in my opinion.
Yeah, they're so deep. Deep.
That's insane. They lose Hartenstein, obviously, to the Thunder. And the Thunder look like they're building a nice, great squad over there with Alex Caruso, Hartenstein. Got some great defensive pieces, some great passing pieces. And then obviously, you know, you got a partnership with Chet over there now. You got Twin Towers going on. So I think they're building something super nice over there in the West. But we're going to keep it with the East. I honestly do think that – I think the Knicks really could I think if they figure it out, they could give the Celtics a run for their money. I think Michael Bridges has been one of those players who's been under the radar for the last 3 to 4 years, and he's been evicted of the market that he's been playing in. He's been in Brooklyn with absolutely no help, and on top of that, he's played. I think I saw a tweet or something or a stat. He's played like I think he's literally only missed like one NBA game in his entire career. Like, and now he's going to be playing with Tom Thibodeau, a guy who's notorious for playing as guys every single minute that they can. You know what I'm saying? So. And I really do think the chemistry between those guys in college is definitely just going to just resurge that team into the, and it's going to just come back again in the NBA. You know, they have fun playing together. They have great memories together. And they're just going to continue and just doing all that at the higher level of the NBA. The Magic, in my opinion, I think if they would have gotten, I think if the Magic would have gotten Paul George, that would have been, in my opinion, one of the scariest teams in the Eastern Conference. You add Paolo, you add Franz, and then you, and then of course you put on Paul George and add KCP. Good on the Magic for just going and getting KCP and not waiting on Paul George to respond, because they could have lost him in that time period. So that's a huge, huge, huge pickup for them. So I think that's really, really nice for them. But yeah, the Magic look really good. Obviously, you know, if you guys don't know where we are, you're here in Orlando, you know, but it's super nice to see them go off and do what they got to do. But yeah, I mean, I think that the East is going to be shaping up really differently, and I really do believe that. I mean, you guys call me a hater, Debbie Downer, whatever you call it, a non-believer, but I really do think if the Bucks don't make a move in this offseason, that we are going to get left in the dust by these Eastern Conference teams. Other than, like you said, especially with the top teams, the Cavs and everyone else below, I think will be fine. The Hawks, they shipped out DeJounte Murray. They're going to blow it up. I think the Bulls are going to end up blowing it up too. But I think with the top competitors in the East, when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty of winning games and what matters in the playoffs, it's going to be extremely tough for us, especially with the new talent that a lot of these teams have acquired. Because not only have these teams added, first of all, every single team that we talked about has added a veteran to their team. They've all added someone who has been in the league, established in the league, has done it time and time again. You know, and the only one that doesn't have playoff experience is Michael Bridges. But then Paul George, obviously, with the 76ers, I think it's a lot about health. He's a player injury prone himself. Like you said, Joel Embiid also is a player who is known for getting injured. He's yet to get past even conference finals. Despite his ability, his MVP season, he has not gone to an even conference finals one time. And on top of that, I think Boston just owns that guy, bro. When they play Boston, it's just not, there's just nothing they could do about him, you know. But yeah, man, I think it's gonna be really interesting to see how the East gets going and how it tees off at the start of the season, you know, just how to see all these different type of play styles meshing and just going at it. And I think it's gonna be a really, really competitive season in the East, and I'm really excited to see it. So Patrick, if you have anything of that you wanted to add.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to throw out a hypothetical over under 3.5 seed.
What?
Three seed or fourth seed?
I'm going to say fourth for sure. I think I'm not going to lie. I definitely think fourth. I think that those teams could all make it to the fourth seed, especially whatever, like with Paolo playing with, especially because Paolo is paired with someone who plays such a similar game in Paul George. Like, dude, like, the only thing, Paolo's just, he's already just, first of all, for his first two seasons, he's already done some insane stuff that people aren't talking about simply because he's in, oh, sorry, I don't know why I said Paul George and Paolo. That's how much I wanted that trade to happen. But I think that that's just going to motivate him to play even better, you know, knowing that the competition is going to get tougher. And now he's got a veteran guy next to him in KCP, who is just only going to transcend his game to the next level. It's going to take so much pressure off him off the ball. And on top of that, that defensive backcourt is going to be an absolute nightmare to play against, dude. Jalen Suggs is only going to get better defensively, you know, having having KCP next to him. And on top of that, they get to spread the ball to a guy who's literally shot 40% from the three his entire career and has two NBA championships with two different rosters. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, I honestly, something that's not talked about enough, bro. He's one of those players that, he's one of those role players on a team that you read on the roster, like, oh yeah, he's good. He's a good shooter. But then you look at his resume and you're like, wow, this guy's really nice. You know, he's done it all. So I think that, the Magic could potentially make a jump because they were fourth this year, right? They jumped to fourth on the last day of the season, I think, right?
Oh, no. The Cavs were home.
The Cavs were game seven, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. Yeah. So I think the Magic are definitely going to be able to make that jump. On top of that, the Knicks passed us in the last day of the season. They were biting on our heels the whole way during the season. The Magic had an absolutely phenomenal start to the NBA regular season last year and then slowed down. They cooled off and they brought it back up again. But I just feel like those players are just only getting better. And then they add Tristan Da Silva off the bench, who was going to have an immediate impact from three-point shooting. He's a great, really, really great active defender. And on top of that, you know, he's going to just figure out his playmaking ability. I think that all those teams are getting better. And I'm not saying that we're not getting better. I just don't think DeLon Wright is enough of a signing for us to really make a jump. Or to really have an edge over those two teams, or that I just mentioned, and I just it's really hard to see us finishing above them. And then of course, like I said, the Sixers, you have Tyrese Maxey, who is absolutely blossoming, you know, as an elite guard in the NBA. He's only getting better. His speed, he's one of the fastest guards in the NBA. He has is absolutely great shooting ability, playmaking ability. And then you get rid of Tobias Harris. The Pistons ship him off, rightfully so, and then you replace him with Paul George, like, and then you have Embiid down low. Like, it's really tough to imagine that we're gonna be able to compete, because I don't know how we're gonna be able to guard all those, you know, guard all those matchups. You know, like you said, in terms of health, that's one thing, but Embiid is coming off of his healthiest season in the NBA, so I think that this, it just shows that, you know, things are gonna be really different. It's gonna be shaken up, you know. What do you think over or under? And after that, we'll close.
I would say fourth seed is honestly the highest that I see us in the regular season.
I agree.
And I think I'm okay with that. A home court in the first round, and then just make sure that we're healthy. We don't have to exert our energy too much. And we end up with hopefully right around 50-something wins. And then that's where it is.
Yep.
I think there's so many good teams in the Eastern Conference right now, especially at the top.
Absolutely. Now, in the West is only getting better, too. So it's really interesting to see how this NBA season is going to turn out. But we're going to come back to you guys next time with some more offseason work. Hopefully by then we have made a trade or have done something or made a signing or whatever. But this has been the Believe in Bucks podcast. This is your co-host, Luke Acosta. That's the main host of the Pretty Face, Patrick Previty. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Peace out. Go Bucks.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.